This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
David Allen in for Paul J. He's still on vacation. He will be back on Tuesday. Chris Walton here, joining us in the next title studio. Commissioner Tom Dale, good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, it's a beautiful morning out there, you know, just driving through the smoke, getting here in Boise. You know, in Canyon County, everything's clear.
Like, that's where you want to talk about. It's that time of year when, you know, the fiscal year 2018 is coming down upon us, and you guys are working on a budget, right?
Right. We held a public hearing last night for the final version of the budget, and it passed. It is a budget that is lower by $2 million over last year's budget. And because of that, there's going to be a commensurate drop in the levy rate of about 2%.
Oh, wow.
That does not mean your taxes are going down necessarily, because that whole relationship between assessed value and levy rates is something
you didn't have to spoil it so fast for.
Well, okay. Well, it's a responsible budget that meets the needs. Over the last several years, the health care, particularly part of our benefits package for our employees, had been allowed to drop dangerously low. We are self-funded, so we have to keep a fund balance in there to cover those costs. And it was dangerously low. We had to infuse some pretty significant dollars there. And the other big hit for the county's budget is our obligation to pay for involuntary mental holds and all of the medical costs associated with that. That has just skyrocketed in the last year and a half, and that was a big hit for us this year as well.
But total budget, $89.5 million, and as you said, $2 million less than the 2017 fiscal year budget.
Right.
$47 million coming out of property taxes, and then where's the remaining $32 million?
Well, that comes from shared revenue streams, mm-hmm. like, you know, the liquor tax, gas tax. Well, I don't know. We don't get any gas tax. We don't have any road responsibilities. Okay. I was going back to my city days. But, you know, fees and things like that. The landfill that we operate out there, Pickles Butte, is part of this budget, but it's not property tax funded. It's all self-supporting.
I have to ask the obvious question. If the budget's $2 million less, do any services get removed or lowered or anything? Okay, I had to ask the question.
Well, that's always a good question. Where is the cut coming? It's last year there was money put into the budget for the potential construction of an addition to the old jail. That, of course, became a moot point when the city of Caldwell turned down the special use permit that would have been needed for that to happen, and so that money was not needed in the budget this year.
You guys, over the past decade or so, I mean, have been very conservative when it comes to doing the budgets.
Well, yes. Over the past decade or so, there have been $50 to $60 million of taxes that could have been taken that were not taken in an effort to keep the property tax as low as possible. You know, people quite frequently ask, well, why are Canyon County taxes higher than Ada County? There's one reason, and that's because of the assessed value that exists in Ada County, mm-hmm. as opposed to Canyon County. And I have told people this for years, there is one positive and sure way to lower property taxes, and that is economic development. And we are working on that real hard in Canyon County. Both Nampa and Caldwell and the Western Alliance for Economic Development have brought a lot of businesses into Canyon County over the last few years.
Now, legally, I guess you guys are allowed to raise the budget a certain amount every year, but you don't do it.
Right. You're allowed to raise that by 3% mm-hmm. plus whatever the new construction is. And historically, the county has not always taken that. They've taken some, but not always. And that's pretty consistent. You know, City of Boise doesn't even ask that question. They just take the 3% every year, and that's pretty consistent with a lot of places. And there is a real cost to doing business. And like it or not, government is a big business. And those costs of doing business don't generally go down over a period of time. As you know, in your homes and everything, food, gas, everything goes up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to acknowledge that realistic cost of doing business and make sure that you stay solvent.
All right, we're going to take a traffic break real quick, but when we come back, you brought up the jail. Let's talk about the study for that. We'll come back next.
Right.
Canyon County Commissioner Tom Dale with us. It's 8:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 8:50, David Allen, Chris Walton here with you, Canyon County Commissioner Tom Dale. As I teased before, it's a continuing longstanding jail issue out there in Canyon County. What's the latest?
There is. Well, a couple of months ago, we entered into a contract with the DLR group out of Seattle, and they are conducting an in-depth study on what the needs for the next 20, 30 years for jail space in Canyon County will be. This is a process that has not ever been done for Canyon County, this type of an in-depth study. There have been a couple of a surface kind of shallow dives, but this is a deep dive into what we're going to need incrementally for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. This process includes extensive meeting with all of the stakeholders, with the sheriff, the judges, the prosecuting attorney, the city police departments, those kinds of things. This is a really reputable group that has great credentials. They have worked with Canyon County in the past. And in fact, last week, a number of people from the sheriff's department went over to the coast in Washington State and visited a couple of jail facilities that have been built in the past couple of years just to see, okay, would this work for us? What do we need? How does this translate into Canyon County's needs? So we're in that process of defining what we need, coming up with the cost of that, coming up with the cost of operation. You know, as I mentioned earlier, that there is a cost to doing business. A jail is part of the cost that the county has to pay for, and our current jail is woefully inadequate. At some point, we're going to have to bite the bullet and build a new jail.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty thorough study, too, because you're studying how long the current facilities
right.
will be effective.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a study about beds, like you said, in five-year increments, how many will you need certain times and what kinds.
And what kind of beds, right?
Yeah. And the cost to build and operate the new jail, how much space will be needed,
yeah.
and how you can repurpose the existing facilities. So there's a lot in there. There's, you know, more than just like, hey, new jail.
That's right, because we have a lot of square footage in that old jail that could be repurposed for office space, storage space, different kinds of things. And if you wanna know what can happen to an old jail right downtown Boise here, the old Boise City Jail is turned into, I think it's Givens Pursley Law Offices. It's beautiful. So there are things you can do with an old space like that, to not just tear it down.
Community Crisis Center, you guys are looking into maybe getting one in Canyon County.
Absolutely. This is becoming increasingly a need for the state of Idaho. I believe there are four crisis centers now that are operational in the state. The first one opened up in Idaho Falls. That has been highly successful for them. It's a diversionary program that can keep people out of the justice system and put them into a crisis center temporarily and help them get connected with the resources they need.
And when we were talking about the budget, you mentioned the number of involuntary mental health holds.
Right. That involuntary mental health holds are actually people who are picked up by a police officer, sheriff's officer, and they have to decide, do they go to the jail? I can't really let them go because they could be a danger. So they get put into a hospital, $1,000 a day plus any medical costs that are incurred. That gets very expensive very quickly.
This is a decision that you need the legislature, area hospitals, health district, law enforcement, first responders. So there's a lot of layers. It's not just like the government's going to go, here, let's do this.
Right. Exactly.
All that input's going to help you build the right facility help the most people.
You know, there are at least four crisis centers working in the state of Idaho. There are four different models that are working amongst all of those. And so we have a coalition that is meeting on a regular basis. We have another meeting, I think, tomorrow, I think, between the hospitals, legislators, city, county officials, those kind of people, to find out what is the model that would work best for Canyon County, and not just Canyon County, but all of Southwest District Health, which is that District 3 over there, which includes a six-county area.
Yeah, and then it's the whole thing is it's a Yeah, sorry about that. Something happened with ESPN.
Yeah, I heard music.
Anyway, I mean, that's a great idea, though. You know, see what's been working at the other ones here in the state and you know, figure out what hasn't been working and then just move from there.
You bet. So, and it'll probably be some sort of a composite of all of them, perhaps, you know, that find out, take the most successful and copy them and go forth.
Let's finish up with something really fun. Canyon County Fair.
Hey, you know,
just got done. It was a big, big, big success this year.
It really was. According to the attendance figures, there were between 4,000 and 6,000 more people who bought tickets to come to the Canyon County Fair this year than last year.
Despite the heat.
Right. There were revenues that were up and across the board for the vendors that were there. Had some very successful concerts. Of course, you get the heat. The beer sales
were up because of the heat. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Beer sales were up, so they made a lot of money on that. It was just a highly successful fair. And I just have to shout out to Diane Sinner and her staff and the fair board that stepped up to the plate. You know, we made a pretty dramatic change back about 5 months ago and said, okay, here, you got 5 months to build a fair. Let's make it work.
Yeah, because we were talking the last couple of years about possibly, you know, moving to a different location.
Right.
And you guys decided to put some money into improving the current facility, and apparently it paid off.
It paid off. We put close to $100,000 into improvements that people really were appreciative of. Lots of compliments. The organization of the fair was just great this year. And we will be continuing to explore other ways we can improve the fair in collaboration with the city of Caldwell, College of Idaho, the Caldwell Night Rodeo, which, by the way, starts next week.
Yes,
Caldwell Night Rodeo, where, as Mayor Garrett likes to say all the time, where the cowboys are the stars.
Well, exactly.
I think they're the stars in every rodeo, but anyway, next week, starting Tuesday night, Caldwell Night Rodeo, every night next week, come on out to Canyon County.
Fantastic. Commissioner Tom Dale, thanks for coming in this morning. We appreciate it.
You bet.
Say hi to
pleasure.
Everybody in Canyon County for us.
I will. Come over there if you want to breathe some fresh air, because we make the smoke all go away.
Very good. We'll do that. Thanks so much. Coming up after the top of the hour news, we will be talking to Raul Labrador. And obviously, there's some things to talk about on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 906, David Allen, Chris Walton here. Todd with 1D pushing all the buttons. Joining us on the phone from Washington, D.C., Congressman Raul Labrador. Congressman, how are you this morning, sir?
Doing great. Good morning.
Well, I'm going to start out with the obvious question. It's a war of words and red lines being drawn between Pyongyang and Washington, D.C., with Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump trading barbs back and forth. What's your stance, and where do you think it all stands this morning?
Well, we obviously have to be concerned about what's happening in North Korea, but we also have to be concerned about the level of rhetoric, especially in the media. If you think about what North Korea has been doing over the last few years, this is no different than what they have done. They continue to threaten the United States. They continue to threaten their neighbors. So we just need to, relax. Even Jeffrey Toobin on CNN yesterday, who is no friend of the Republicans, no friend of the White House, no friend of Trump, told CNN, you know, you guys have to mellow out about this kind of stuff. This is no different than what this madman has been doing for a long period of time in North Korea, and we need to just relax and everyone just take a deep breath. So it was interesting to see he was calling out his own network, just saying, just be careful with what you're doing. I think it's important that President Trump shows strength. I think he's handling the situation as well as he can. He's not backing down. But he's not spoiling for a fight. He says that he's open to talks. He's been working with China to get more involved, and I believe China should be more involved. But his number one priority is protecting America. A lot of these advances in North Korea and other areas all happened under Obama. I just love how the media wants to turn this around and somehow blame President Trump for this. These are all advancements and developments that happened under President Obama. So we just need to relax. We need to understand that this is his This is the way that North Korea has treated the West for a long period of time. And we just need to handle the situation very carefully.
What's your opinion on the statement that John McCain had said that you shouldn't make empty threats, don't make threats unless you're willing to go forward with it, talking about what Trump said about fire and fury?
Well, we don't know what he meant. Fire and fury could mean a lot of different things. He didn't say anything specific. I agree with John McCain on that aspect of it, that we shouldn't make empty threats. John McCain probably should not be the person talking about empty threats because he loves to threaten every single one of the nations in the world. He's somebody who loves to go to war. I'm not a big fan. I think we need diplomacy. We need to be careful what we're doing. But I didn't see in the statement from Trump an empty threat. I did see a statement where he was telling North Korea to be careful what they're doing and to stop threatening places like Guam and other areas. I think he's showing strength at this time. I'm not sure, a man like John McCain who loves to threaten every nation in the world and try to make enemies throughout the world probably should not be giving the president advice on this right now.
Congressman, back on July 24th, the House of Representatives, of which, of course, you are a member, passed a new GI Bill, and it includes legislation that you introduced on behalf of an Idaho family, you've said, to fix an error about veterans' benefits. Can you tell us kind of the details about that? And I guess the Senate passed the bill August 2nd, so what's next after
that? They did. The Senate passed the bill last week, and the next step is for President Trump to sign it. I began working on this issue. I think we talked about it before, but I began working on this issue after meeting with Captain Edward Hill and his wife, Heidi. At the time, they had just gone through a very tragic event where their daughter had died in a car accident, and I presented to them posthumously a Congressional Bronze Medal on behalf of their daughter, Shauna. Shauna was working on her silver medal when she passed away, and she was an amazing girl. She was a high achiever, competitive figure skater, ice dancer, violinist. She had actually performed at Carnegie Hall with the Eagle High School Orchestra. Her father, who had served 28 years as a Navy pilot, he had retired just before her death. And when they tried to designate Shauna's education benefits from Shauna, they tried to move them to her little sister. They learned that they couldn't do it. They learned that the law did not allow them to designate, a new person once he had retired. We worked with the Veterans Department. We worked with, the Navy. We tried to get them to do it, to give them an exemption. And the service told us that, unfortunately, they couldn't do it, not because they didn't want to do it, but because the law did not allow it. So as soon as we found that out, I promised the Hills that I would pursue a legislative solution. And just last week, we were able to pass it through the Senate. It had already passed through the House a few weeks before that. And I'm just really grateful for, their story, their work on this. And their inspiration is what helped us solve the problem that other families suffer. And, the most amazing thing about the Hill family is that they're not personally benefiting from this because their daughter that they were trying to move the benefits to already graduated from college. But they're just so grateful that they're going to be able to help other families that they don't have to go through this. Obviously it's not going to be a large number of families that have an incident like this. But they're just grateful that they nobody else will have to go through what they just went through. So I'm just really proud of them, and I'm just honored to have been able to work with them on this issue.
And back on July 14th, Congressman, you introduced a bill to rename the post office in Payette, and I was pretty fond of what you did. Tell us about that.
Well, we're excited about that. This is one of the fun things that you do in Congress. You get to work with some of the families that have given so much to the community. And in July, introduced a bill to name the post office in Payette after Harmon Killebrew. And as everybody knows, Killebrew is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he's considered by many to be Idaho's greatest athlete. But what's most significant about him was not his efforts on the field. He was really just a truly a good and kind man, and he used his fame to support charitable efforts. I don't know if most people know this, but in 1976, Killebrew helped to found the Danny Thompson Memorial Golf Tournament in Sun Valley. Now, after his death, it's called the Killebrew Thompson Memorial. And people who remember him, yes, for his exploits on the field, but most importantly, they remember him for the goodness and his kindness. You know, he passed away in 2011 from cancer. And I'm just excited to be working on this and to honor such a great Idahoan.
Where does that bill stand right now, Congressman?
So right now that's been introduced, and we will work, and it has been sponsored by both members of the delegation. Typically, those kinds of bills go through the House pretty quickly, so we will see it move and hopefully move through the Senate quickly.
That's fantastic. Thank you for your time this morning, Congressman Raul Labrador. We certainly appreciate it here on 670 KBOI. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, sir.
Thank you. And I just wanted to correct one thing. I am in Idaho.
Okay.
I'm traveling the state, so I'm enjoying the beauties of Idaho.
You should have come down. We could have gotten you a free cup of coffee. So.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate it. Congressman Raul Labrador on 670 KBOI. Chris and I will be back with more of North Korea and Donald Trump and all of those shenanigans. Next, you're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
920 now at 670 KBOI. KBOI rewards code, THREAT. THREAT, THREAT. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword threat, get your 5,000 rewards points.
What are you trying to say?
And a tweet from Kim Jong-un.
You might. We don't know that yes. You won't.
I'm going to go to the phone here in 1 second because we have a phone call. But I wanted to read, this is from ABCNews.com. While President Trump delivered a brash warning of fire and fury, Rex Tillerson, his Secretary of State, is pushing for cooler heads and continued diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
The belligerent message from an American president was meant to match the aggressive, at times ridiculous, rhetoric of the North Korean state, according to Tillerson. Pro-life, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. You know, this is pretty serious, and the serious thing about it is Congress hasn't done anything about it. You know, under the War Powers Act, Congress gives the president powers that he can act if the United States is attacked. But, of course, North Korea has not attacked us. Now, in Article 1, the power is given to Congress to declare war. And they need to right now talk about whether they're going to give in the North Korea and vote on it, the North Korea situation, give President Trump the preemptive power to strike North Korea. Otherwise, he can't do that. He would have to wait until a missile lifted off North Korea headed for Guam or something. Then they could try to shoot it down, whatever, attack North Korea.
What did you think about what the congressman said? He said everybody needs to just relax because I guess as far as he was concerned, it was just an empty threat from North Korea.
No, he's out of it. They need to go right into Congress and talk about it. They need to say, listen, are we going to give President Trump the power to go against North Korea without a physical attack from North Korea? They need to talk about that. That's irresponsible. The Constitution says the powers to get, you know, I've said that, you know, just a statement ago. They just need to get responsible in Congress. They can't avoid that and just let the president have all the power he wants to have, you know. That's ridiculous.
Let me ask you, pro-life, at the end of the day, not so much what you want to see happen, but at the end of the day, what do you think will happen in this situation?
You know, I have no idea. I know what I want to have happen, nothing.
Sure. I think we all want that.
That's pretty good.
It would be ridiculous if Kim Jong-un was the responsibility of a war between the two countries. Thanks for the call, pro-life. We certainly appreciate it.
All right.
I think everybody wants nothing to happen, but at the end of the day,
yeah,
does something happen? I found it interesting that, and you and I talked a little bit about it off the air yesterday, because this all happened in the afternoon.
Right.
When Kim Jong-un was just incensed because of the UN sanctions, that even the one country that trades with them, China, voted to put the sanctions on. But for some reason, he's angrier at the U.S. than he is at anybody else. And I know we brought it up in front of the U.N.
Again, China trades with North Korea.
Yes.
So, you know, even if he's angry at China, apparently he's not dumb enough to cut ties with China.
Well, no, but why isn't he threatening to send a missile to China? I know the answer to that, obviously.
Yeah, so do I, because I think China would stomp on him.
Yeah. But what's to say we won't stomp on him? Is it because they trade with China?
Yeah, well, China, probably. China's an ally of theirs. Russia is more or less an ally of North Korea.
Rex Tillerson said, what the president was doing was sending a strong message to North Korea in a language that Kim Jong-un would understand. It was important that he deliver this message to avoid any miscalculation on their part.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was naturally, as soon as I heard, I heard what Kim Jong-un said, I was nervous. Now, to be honest, when I heard what President Trump said back, I was more nervous. Because I thought, okay, that seems like an odd response to mention fire and fury as if to, you know, I don't think we've ever had a president before that actually threatened to use nuclear weapons. You know, there's always been, presidents have always announced that we had them and we had plenty of them, and that's been fairly common. But it just seemed odd that happened at the time, especially the fire and fury, because to me, I mean, that just sort of sounds like the apocalypse, doesn't it? But this is what Tillerson said. He said, you know, you have to take this threat seriously and, you know, let them know that we're not ignoring it. So, I mean, I don't know. I've been told several times that I don't understand the brilliance that's coming out of Washington, D.C. And that is more or less correct.
Let me bring up, after the break in the news, an issue or at least an idea. And I just formed in my brain, so I'm probably going to spend the next 6 minutes forming it more fully.
Gotcha.
To see if it makes more sense to you on why Donald Trump said what Donald Trump said.
Okay.
It's 9:26. News with Rick Worthington is next, and then Chris and I will be back. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
9:37 now. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. 670 KBOI. Rush does come up at 10 o'clock. Michael Savage at 1. Nate Shellman live and local at 3 o'clock. All right. So I know this is going to sound political, and perhaps everything is political now, but I actually don't mean it political. I'm just meaning it as a person who pays attention to recent history.
Okay.
So
now, that having been explained.
Yes. And so I'm trying to come up with my justification, or at least my rationale, for the fire and fury
comment.
And you'll see something that the world has never seen unleashed on North Korea that Donald Trump said yesterday.
Because you know, I mean, that sounds like a not terribly vague threat.
Yeah. Early on in President Obama's presidency, he called ISIS the JV team, said it wasn't really that big a deal. Now, obviously, we've seen over the years how they obviously grew up to the first round, you know, the first string, and became such a debilitating force in that part of the country. Is this one of those things where Donald Trump doesn't want to unleash hell on anybody, but he's also not going to just poo-poo Kim Jong-un as being a crazy little dictator? So I'm going to give him, quote unquote, the respect he thinks he deserves by saying we'll unleash fire and fury like the world has never seen, to feed his ego that the United States sees him as a direct threat and we're not going to just brush him aside.
That's actually a fairly good explanation.
Boom, mic drop, I'm out.
I wonder how accurate it is.
And that's just my perception. I have nothing to base that on.
Yeah.
But thinking about it, it's like, you know what? If you have somebody who has, you know, if you've got a Napoleon or a Kim Jong-un or whoever your Pol Pot or whoever your crazy dictator might be.
Or even someone tall.
And they have an ego issue. I mean, as we know, Kim Jong-un's dad, you know, he would go play golf and it's the first time he'd ever played golf and he had 9 holes in one. And, you know, and he had 15 bullseyes whenever he went.
Bowled a 300 game.
Yeah, exactly. 15 bullseyes whenever he's shooting bow and arrow.
Scored the winning touchdown in the North Korea Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. So if Donald Trump comes out and goes, You know what? He can fire his missiles. They're obviously impotent, and he's impotent, and he is no threat to anybody or any of our allies, and it's ridiculous, and I'm not going to pay attention to him because I've got to pay attention for health care and tax cuts and the wall and all this other stuff.
When you've got a point, and I hadn't thought of it that way. That could infuriate him, whereas being taken seriously and threatened back might be exactly the thing that can assuage him.
Yeah, because now he's sitting around going, ooh, we've got the U.S. on the run. They take me seriously. I'm a great big dictator with huge nuclear weapons, and I can do anything I want, and no one can push me around anymore.
And if you heard that, we're in trouble.
Well, yeah, okay, but exactly.
Yeah, he doesn't care for the slights and insults and things like that.
Yes, exactly.
But I
don't know.
There were arguments to the other side yesterday, and of course there were a million of them on television. Jim Risch really was the first one. Senator Jim Risch from Idaho was the first person who got on TV, and he was on with Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room because, oddly enough, they felt like this was suddenly a situation.
A situation, yeah.
And he essentially just backed up everything the president said. The only thing he said that I thought was kind of odd, because it's a little on the... I know I've heard other people say it, but it's still a little bit on the un-American side. He says, I'm not going to criticize anything the president says because he's the president. And I'm thinking, okay, there was about an 8-year period, let's just say roughly between 2009 and 2017, where there wasn't a single Republican that uttered that phrase.
And you're right. And here's the thing. You can always criticize the president if you want to criticize him on policy and stuff like that.
Because it's America.
But don't.
And if you think
because then you still respect the office.
Yeah, okay, you still respect the office. But if something's going haywire, whether it's Trump or Obama or Bush or Clinton or, you know, Abraham Lincoln or whatever, if you see something that doesn't look right, it's America, so probably you should say something.
Yeah, and you're not going to get any repercussions.
You know,
I mean, he might get repercussions in Washington.
It would be terrific if you know what you're talking about first, but this is America where you don't necessarily have to.
Yeah, dissent is not always frowned upon. You know, unless you want a job in the NFL. But you get a situation to where, because yesterday I thought Michael Savage, to quote Spinal Tap, this one went up to 11. Because he's on his show and he starts talking about, I think this means he's going to want to use a neutron bomb on him and destroy all the people but keep the buildings because we want to be able to keep the buildings. I'm like, you took from that tweet or that comment, and you went to a neutron bomb?
That we need buildings?
And how do you get there when this is your first bit of...
Okay.
Serious rhetoric
from
both sides.
I won't be the first one who says this, but I will definitely acknowledge it at some point in my life. How about today? That when you are on the radio, there are certain things you say to get a conversation going.
Sure.
Okay. And I believe Rush Limbaugh does that. I believe Sean Hannity does that. I believe that Michael Savage does it. I believe Levin does it. I think we do it. I think we all do it. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't believe what you're talking about, but you may say it in a rather shocking manner, or you may say it in a rather abrupt manner. Alex Jones does it, by golly. And you may say something... just to get a conversation going, and you don't mind if somebody calls up and says to you, hey, you're completely off base. It's fine. I don't know, though, when you start bringing nuclear weapons into it, that's when I start to quake a bit in my boots. And I don't mean to indicate that I'm, necessarily afraid of Kim Jong-un. I am sitting here in Boise, Idaho, so I don't need to be afraid of very many things, I've been told. But... nuclear war just still it starts to feel like it did back in the early 70s when I was in school, and they used to send home notes telling us what to do in case the bomb dropped.
Sure. 208-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Let's go to the phones. Glenn, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Quite well, thank you. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Morning.
Thank you for the program and for receiving my call. Well, there's a lot of ways to look at this topic, and I'm going to try to turn it around a little bit and talk about the conditions in North Korea. I don't know that they have anything lifestyle so desirable that I'd want to live there. On the other hand, Deception is pretty prevalent in our own country, and it seems to me, I stress that phrase, it seems to me that we have a lot of slavery going on in our own country under the guise of freedom. And you can beat that around the bush all day. How are we enslaved? Well, one thing is, believe it or not, the education system. I learned that I should learn what I need to know to do what I need to do. And I joined the Navy, and they said the same thing. Learn what we need you to know to do what we need you to do. And so I did. And today we have competition in learning, and all kinds of taxes and certificates and competition until who knows where we're going. We're enslaved by this appetite for learning and excelling and being better than having toys that we can exhibit that we don't need to convince somebody else that, oh, isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful?
All right, Glenn, thanks for the call. We certainly appreciate it.
Now, and I understand to a certain extent what, I'm in favor of knowing things and learning and whatnot.
Sure.
But I understand what Glenn is saying, because there was a time when the goal in life was to make a living and to have a family and to, you know, put together a home and to do all right for yourself. The goal wasn't necessarily to get rich and to beat everybody else. The goal wasn't to conquer the world. It was for a few people, but mm-hmm. for the majority of people, it was simply to, to get along and to do well and make a nice community, that sort of thing. And over time, things have changed. I still believe learning is a good thing. But I do understand Glenn's point.
This segment of the show brought to you by the good folks at Sweet Deals. This week's Sweet Deal is $50 worth of certificates for only $25 to Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Tropical Smoothie Cafe offers great tasting, healthy smoothies made from fresh fruits and vegetables. Friday morning at 9, head to KBOI.com and click on the Sweet Deals link to take advantage of this great offer. It's 9:46. Warren in Middleton. Hang on. We'll get you on after the break. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
9:51, just a few minutes left in the show. 336-3700, that's a 208 number for those of you calling in from out of the area. 1-800-529-5264.
Well, even if you're in the area, it's a 208 number.
208. I'm just not used to it yet. Mike in Twin Falls, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Good morning, David and Chris. This whole Korea deal, me being an older guy, is scarily reminiscent of October of 1962 when we had the Cuban Missile Crisis going on. And I distinctly remember I was a freshman in high school back then, and remember John Kennedy coming on with his speech and his message to Khrushchev that any missile fired from Cuba to anywhere basically in the Western Hemisphere would be considered an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States, requiring a full retaliatory response. And I kind of hope that this is the message that maybe we'll get through to this wacko that runs Korea, that if he tries anything stupid like he has threatened Guam, that, you know, he needs to understand that this may be the end of North Korea.
Mike, how much influence do you think China has, because it doesn't seem like they have any influence, that they take this very seriously from him and will go to North Korea and say, slow your roll, everybody, and stay in your lane?
Well, China, I think, is at least a sane country, as opposed to, I think, this guy that's running North Korea.
Sure.
And I hope that they have enough influence and power economically, maybe even militarily, which they probably might show, but we may not know it, to show this guy that the path he's on is, you know, there's not a good outcome to it if he continues on this path. His little empire in North Korea will come to an end.
All right, Mike, thanks for checking in. Stay safe on the road, my friend. Thanks.
You too. Thank you.
In certain ways, I completely understand that, too. In others, I feel like this is one of those deals where you've got yourself into a duel, and both sides are going to fire with the
with
the possibility of you know, of everybody getting killed. However, it's more likely that, you know, the whoever has the most power will win, but it doesn't mean there won't be irreparable damage done to the entire world.
Yeah, there's still possibly
and so
losers.
It's still a little bit, you know, on the frightening side.
Sure.
But he brings up a good point that Kennedy.
Yes, he did.
That wasn't necessarily a threat with Kennedy.
No.
It was simply a promise that if this is to happen, you know, if something is fired from Cuba, and, you know, make no mistake, those are the people, the Soviets are the ones who put the missiles in Cuba, and they put them here so they would be as close to the United States as possible.
Yep.
And he simply told them that, you know, any strike on anything in the Western Hemisphere is going to be considered a strike on the United States, and there will be retaliation. And there was no question about what he meant by that.
And the next thing you know, those missiles were moved out of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is Trump's Kennedy moment, and I'm not equating the two presidents at all. I'm just saying, is this that moment now, where he stands up and says, enough's enough?
The difference, I think, between the two, Kennedy and Trump, would be that Kennedy simply had a reputation for thinking his way through things and then meaning, you know, and then making a meaningful comment. And, you know, Trump has the tweet thing, which is
so far,
you know, there are plenty of people who just simply look at that as his way of communicating. And then there are other people who say, you know, get your facts straight, then tweet, or just don't tweet, or something of that nature. So you've got and clearly, I mean, it doesn't matter what president it does something or what the president does. It's going to be criticized by half the people anyway.
Oh, sure, sure. And one of the TVs, I don't remember which channel I was just watching a second ago, but they had somebody up there and the headline underneath them said, foreign policy has changed. The foreign policy has changed in the fact that, like you say, you've got two people doing a stare down. And it's who's going to move first, or does nobody blink, and then who knows what happens?
I agree with what Pro-Life said, which is I hope nobody moves.
Yeah, I hope.
If you want to talk. If you don't want to, you know, if you don't want to talk, don't just do something. Just leave everybody alone.
Chris and I will be back tomorrow, 5 to 10. Rush Limbaugh comes up next. Enjoy your Wednesday. You're listening to 670 KBOI.